Maitreya uvacha. The grace says Maitreya continued. Na, never. Why? Certainly. Mukundasya, of the Lord who can give liberation. Pada Aravindayo, of the lotus feet. Raja Jusa, persons who are eager to taste the dust. Tata, my dear Vidura. Bhavadrisha, like yourself. Janaha, persons. Panchanti, desire. Tat, his. Dasyam, servitorship. Rite, without. Artham, interest. Atmanaha, for themselves. Jatrichaya, automatically. Labdha, by what is achieved. Manaha, samriddhaya, considering themselves very rich. Translation and purport by His Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The grace says Maitreya continued, my dear Vidura, persons like you who are pure devotees of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can offer liberation, and who are always attached to the honey of His lotus feet, are always satisfied in serving at the lotus feet of the Lord. In any condition of life, such persons remain satisfied, and thus they never ask the Lord for material prosperity. Repeat, the grace says Maitreya continued. My dear Vidura, persons like you, who are pure devotees of the lotus feet of Mukunda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who can offer liberation, and who are always attached to the honey of His lotus feet, are always satisfied in serving at the lotus feet of the Lord. In any condition of life, such persons remain satisfied, and thus they never ask the Lord for material prosperity. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that He is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything and anything within this creation, and the supreme friend of everyone. When one knows these things perfectly, he is always satisfied. The pure devotee never hankers after any kind of material prosperity. The karmis, however, or ganis, or yogis, endeavor always for their own personal happiness. Karmis work day and night to improve their economic condition. Ganis undergo severe austerities in order to get liberation. And the yogis who undergo severe austerities by practicing the yoga system for attaining a wonderful mystic powers. A devotee, however, is not interested in such activities. He does not want mystic powers or liberation or material prosperity. He is satisfied in any condition of life, as long as he is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. The Lord's feet are compared to the lotus feet, the lotus, wherein there is saffron dust. A devotee is always engaged in drinking the honey from the lotus feet of the Lord. Unless one is freed from material desires, he cannot actually taste the honey from the Lord's lotus feet. One has to discharge his devotional duties without being disturbed by the coming and going of material circumstances. This desirelessness for material prosperity is called nishkama. One should not mistakenly think that nishkama means giving up all desires. That is impossible. A living entity is eternally existent, and he cannot give up desires. A living entity must have desires. That is the symptom of life. When there is a recommendation to become desireless, it is to be understood that this means that we should not desire anything for our sense gratification. For a devotee, this state of mind, nispriha, is the right position. Actually, every one of us already has an arrangement for our standard of material comforts. A devotee should always remain satisfied with the standard of comforts offered by the Lord. As stated in the Isopanishad, tene tektena bhunditaha. This saves time for executing Krishna consciousness. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness being explained in this purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. The very word known as the niṣkama, nicely been explained. Niṣkama means that we don't have any desires. You can't say that because everyone in this world has desires. No one can be free from desires, full of desires. And so it doesn't mean that without any desire. In fact, a devotee have many desires, but our desire is dovetailed in Krishna consciousness, desire to serve Krishna in hundreds of ways. Just like you can have many ways to satisfy the desire, there's actually not that many ways. It's very limited when in the sense enjoyment in whichever world, but when you want to expand our Krishna consciousness, serve Krishna, we can have so many desires. So you can't say niṣkama. Just like Śrīla Prabhupāda, he has expanded Krishna consciousness all over the world in thousands of ways. And even before he left, there is so much more work to do to expand Krishna consciousness. This is never an end to preaching. Prabhupada used to say that there should be competition in preaching Krishna consciousness. How many books you distributed, how many devotees you made, how many temples you opened. That is the test of our progress in Krishna consciousness, that how many devotees we actually made for the last so-and-so years, last month, 1 year. Just like we read out scores. Prabhupada wanted us to read out the scores. And I remember they had, in the early days they had, at the end of every month, they would have results read out in front of the deity throughout the month. And prior to that, they would have Ishtagoshti, which means they discuss about how everyone's progressing in Krishna consciousness. And then they read out to the deity, you know, so many devotees made, how many books are distributed, how many temples opened, like this. I don't know if they still do. They used to do all the department of the heads. They would come and report to the deity how is everything going. Krishna should know everything, even though he is the knower of everything. But it's a good way to actually express our Krishna consciousness and reveal that to Krishna. So, niṣkama. We're talking about niṣkama. We actually never desireless. People say we should be completely free from desire and go to the mountains. In fact, we never talk about going to the mountains. We're always in the forest. In the forest of the city, concrete jungles. So Prabhupada left Vrindavan and went to America, where the people are. Like we're living in China, and we were not allowed to have a Harinam in the city, so we just go into the mountains and the Harinam. Very unfortunate. That's why I came here. We could go Harinam in the city. And we'd have Harinam chanting, closed doors, very softly, because the KGB would come otherwise. So we're very scared. So Krishna consciousness, we can expand it thousands of ways, hundreds of ways. They say, oh, we distributed so many books. And then they say, double it. Like this. There's always competition. Double. Make more devotees. make distribute more books. And at the end of the year, we had the Christmas marathon, and devotees go out distributing books. In the early days, just to sell paraphernalia. And at the end of the day, temple praises would be at the temple. So if anyone came home early, they would be like, what are you doing here? You go back out there. So last day of the marathon, Christmas, we do collection throughout the day, and then we had all night. We would do pubs. And pubs, all night in the pubs, around Mangala at the time we could come home. So we would double our collections. And people who would like, we do up to a whole month, maybe 10,000, 20,000. Somebody do 50,000. Full profit. So, and someone may say, oh, how you are Hare Krishna, you should live a simple life, you know, without having so much opulent. A Prabhupada always, we can accept all the material things but you offer to Krishna. That's the difference. I went to Mayapur and I was wearing, you know, silk and silk kurta, nice big watch. And so he was saying, hey, Brahmachari, how we can... I said, this is all Krishna's. You're not seeing, you're only seeing the clothes. But they would always argue with me. Because Mayapur is a place for, it's the headquarters of our society. We have to be very exemplary. So the point is, Krishna consciousness doesn't mean giving up everything. In fact, in Krishna consciousness, we accept more things to offer Krishna in millions of ways. People come from so far away to come to a Hare Krishna temple. I have never seen a temple in ISKCON, is the only temple in the whole of the world that is so clean and so beautiful and so attractive. I mean, before I came to Australia, like in the 80s, one of my friends from Gurukul Boys, they gave me this magazine. They used to print magazines distributed in the street, Australian temples. So beautiful, colorful deities. It had a Nigovardhan farm. And I think, wow, why is our temples in India is not like this? So beautiful and so clean. I mean, it's clean, but not like here. So it's very attractive. Krishna consciousness is so attractive. Once we see, we want to be there. And I used to go in India, we go to the temples and it's not as clean as ISKCON temple, really. This is why thousands of people come to a Hare Krishna temple. Because they see the deities so gorgeously dressed and so beautiful. And Srila Prabhupada himself used to massage Krishna and Krishna's cheeks with oil. So, Prabhupada, everything that we do, it's coming from Prabhupada. He showed us how to expand Krishna consciousness. We have one temple here, we can have another temple somewhere in Melbourne. Why not? It's going to be so packed here, then we have another temple, it's going to be packed there. And pretty soon, and the whole world is going to be Krishna conscious. There's no room for going to the cinema, because our temples are calling everybody to our temple. The process of Krishna consciousness is to develop detachment. But very difficult to be detached in Krishna consciousness. We can be detached from material things, but we should be attached to Krishna. It's very simple. We are surrounded by wealth, but we're not attached to it, because we know it's Krishna's. Once we see the beautiful form of Krishna, we lose the taste for material things in this world. That is the standard of Krishna consciousness. How we are actually progressing in Krishna consciousness, the test of that, we are going to be able to see ourselves, are we progressing Krishna consciousness, how well are we actually developing taste for Krishna and love for the devotees, love for Prabhupada. If we love Krishna, we also love Krishna's devotees. That's the principle of love. Love doesn't mean you just love one thing that you like it. Selfless love is that you love Krishna and all Krishna's creation in relation to Krishna.
And you want something so that you like it so much, you want to share with others. That is Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gave up everything that he liked so much for himself. He could stay in Vrindavan. I could build a nice house in Radha Damodar and chant his japa there in Vrindavan and live a very peaceful life. That's wonderful. That's a dream of all the devotees. This is why I built a place in Mayapur. And I had a lot of people that have a home in Mayapur and Vrindavan. They don't have time to stay there because they're so busy serving and preaching in the Western country. So I never think of, you know, people say, oh, can you make a house in Mayapur and Vrindavan? Last time I went to Vrindavan, I made a house for myself. A really, really nice house. It was the Govardhan Shila, at the foot of the Govardhan Hill. You take the rocks, the Govardhan Shila stones, and make a house. This is your building a house in the spiritual world. That's the only house I made. So we have to have a desire to work very hard now, work now, samadhi later. I see some of the Maharajis, they walk around like, oh, I work so hard, you know. It's not enough. He worked so hard, he dropped dead. Then he back to Godhead. Don't worry, we're not this body. Only thing that feels tired is our body. And I leave this place after the kitchen and everything, running around here. You know, you go home, you don't have time to watch on the TV. You're just so tired. You're so tired that you just want to have a rest. The Brajabasis and the Gopas and the Gopis in Vrindavan, they work so hard. And it's mentioned, and at night, it's so quiet. Whole Vrindavan, because they're all resting. But they work so hard at night, daytime. Now I came here, one day I came here around from a program, late at night, something like 10:30, 11 o'clock. And people are still moving around and stuff, lights on. I said, what's going on? And then there was less people in Mangalarati because they were up so late. So you got to schedule yourself, how you manage yourself so well that you don't become a victimized of sense enjoyer. We're not an enjoyer. We want Krishna to enjoy. And our pleasure is seeing Krishna is happy. Devotees are happy. Prabhupada never said, oh, Hare Krishna is so austere. Where is the austerity? Prabhupada used to say, you're sitting on Pusharam, you're lying on it. So much opulent here. Before I become a Hare Krishna, small boy, I mean, in India they make halwa with, you know, atta flour. And you come to ISKCON, they're making with, you know, butter and semolina from Italy and you know, butter from France and nothing from India. You know. So opulent. The butter dripping down the side of your mouth. And I can still remember when I joined Mayapur, I could smell the pusharam coming from the first floor they're cooking for Radha Madhava. It's so fragrant. And Krishna, he never eats it all himself. Everybody, in fact, they're waiting for the plate to come out. Because Krishna's never eaten, he's my devotee. Plate comes out with full of pusharam, he just ate a little bit. It's my devotees. He's keeping it for the devotees. So what is the austerity? So nishkama, desireless, is non-existent practically in Krishna consciousness. Full of desires. Because when you want to serve Krishna, you need to have desire. If you don't have desire, you can go to the forest. Krishna is everywhere, not only in the forest, but he is everywhere in a beautiful temple. Krishna lived in Vrindavan, also he lived in Dwarka. In opulent. If we go to the forest and St. Kilda Beach and wear, you know, simple clothes, no one's going to come. We can't attract anyone. So our temples in the cities where people are, and people are attracted to come city to see our temples because it's so opulent. And even in Mayapur, we used to go to the Chaitanya Mart. You know, birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then, very quickly, we see the deities and everything wrap up, and we head for ISKCON, because we want to go there. When you see that ISKCON temple is so opulent. You walk in the door and the shops and in the parks, and there's just so much there. So it's so full of activity. And I said, this is the place to be. There's birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the birthplace karma, Janmasthan. And the place of Srila Prabhupada or ISKCON is Karmasthan, is where activities are taking place, devotional service. The ecstasy, love for Krishna, when you can experience that through service. When you do service, they can really relish Krishna consciousness. If you sit idly, you will just be mental. And there is no pleasure in that. And some people, they have this idea, even they come to our temple, they're still sitting in lotus like this. They think devotional service or any religious things, this is a meditation. And we're having a kirtan here, and very enthusiastic, and feel so much pleasure, and they're just sitting in meditation. Eyes closed. They're not getting it. How you can relish Krishna consciousness sitting down like that? The pleasure is there in the service. That's what we call ourselves, dasa anudasa, servant of the servant. So, in the purport here, that's what I said in the beginning, the essence of Krishna consciousness to be able to experience the love for Krishna through service. If we do not have that service mentality, this is not the place to be for us. You can go to the mountain, that's okay. Our ISKCON is full of work. It's a place for work. Work hard. If you don't work hard for Krishna, then you work hard for Maya. When I first came here, I was thinking, first thing, I left China, the first thing, when I go to Melbourne, I don't want to go to the temple. I will go later. First, I need to settle myself. And I have apply for a job, and then get a nice place somewhere. And then it was just going on and on. The desire was telling me. And then, and Prabhupada, I'm devoted to Prabhupada, no matter what. And someone was telling me, go to the temple. And I was saying, I just go visit when no one's around. I don't want to see the. I have too much familiarity with devotees. I know very well. So sometimes I try to run away from the devotees. So then, I thought, it's not a good thing. Be Vaishnava attitude. So I better call the temple and talk to the temple president and make the connection, because I brought up in ISKCON. So I called up Aniruddha. By that time, I already had a job. You guys are looking for a job. I got in a week. So then he twisted my arm. He said, what is this nonsense? Give up. I didn't tell him. Who are you to tell me that? He said, you should, proper disciple, you should work for, work the temple and be with the devotees and inspire the devotees. That's what I was brought up with. And pretty soon I was convinced. I said, yes, you're right. So then I was running to the temple before you know it. I called them, I said, I changed my mind, and I can't do that. I won't tell you what it is. And I came to the temple, I was just like, wow, yeah, you're right, I want to be here. They're making the new kitchen. And then I saw the deity and everybody, and Aniruddha Prabhu was sharing with the kitchen, going to be the new kitchen. So they said, you're going to be cooking in this kitchen. And then I said, yeah, yeah. And then when the service started, I thought, oh my God, I didn't expect this. That's a real test. I had to bring the pot from outside, huge ones. I carry a little bit, cook a little bit for the deity at the manor. I cook at the manor, and people cutting out for you, just walking like, and you cook. And I had to do everything. Clean the pot, bring it out, bring it in. I said, oh my God, and it was so hot, summertime, and the heat rises, and nobody would come in because it's so hot, only the cooks. And you know how it is. I was thinking, oh, I don't know how I can last this. Maybe not too long. So I was like really mental about everything. And I used to play when I come on deity and ask, you know, what do you want me to do? You know, this is too much, maybe. You know. And pretty soon they had the new kitchen. New kitchen is fantastic. You know, you just wheel around, put all your pots and wheel it around. Even I go to get the one bag of rice, I just take the thing. I don't want to carry anything. It's there, use it. So I said, thank you, Krishna. You know. So if you want to actually desire to serve Krishna, He'll always assist you. If you want material things, He'll assist you. Krishna will always give us. Just that we need to have that genuine desire to serve Him, the bottom of our heart, we want to serve Krishna. Whatever it is, even if it's material, it doesn't matter. Krishna will give us because the underlying, the underneath, you have a desire to serve Krishna. So that's it. Everything else is followed by that. There's other people, they want to have family, fine. They get married, serve Krishna. Idea is to never give up Krishna consciousness. Always Krishna in the center of everything. In our movement, they have the brahmachari, grihastha, vannabhasa, sannyasa. You go to Gauriya Math, they don't have grihasthas. Only the three ashrams, I've heard. And we, as a Prabhupada's mercy, we have the ashram here. You can have family and serve Krishna. The idea is to make ourselves available for Krishna. So there's so much test put to us every day. We are tested every day. If no test, everything's going to be fine. And we laid back. Ah, vodacha, you know, fantastic. You know, it will be just, you know, this. So much money, so many cars, so many devotees, so opulent, then we're not going to serve Krishna nicely, because everything is there. In the spiritual world is different. Because spiritual world, everyone is serving Krishna. We go there because we serve Krishna here. So we have to qualify here before you can go there. If you have material desires, you can go back to Godhead. It'll take time, you can, but after a while. Prabhupada was giving a talk, I heard this from Indradeep Maharaj. He's very good at telling stories. And he was telling this story, how Prabhupada was hammering the devotees in the class. 100%! You have to surrender to Krishna 100%! And he was saying over and over. There was hundreds of devotees, and Prabhupada was giving a talk. And everyone had their head down. No one was looking at Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada is saying, 100%! 100%! And everyone says, because everybody knows we not surrender 100%. So everybody had their head down. And Prabhupada knows everything. And then after a while, he said, okay, 80%. Everybody says, Jai Prabhupada! And then Prabhupada was still hammering 100%, and then 80%. And then he was telling everybody the standard of surrender, even at the 80%. And everyone had head down. And then Prabhupada hammering everyone, 80%. And then the class was over, and Prabhupada was just walking. He got off the seat and just walking. And he had, you know, Prabhupada, he wore the chadar, not always like this. He took each other and he's like this, and he's putting around his chest like that. And while he was doing that, like a drama, he said, okay, 70%! Each other. And everybody was so happy. So Prabhupada, he made concession for us to serve Krishna. From 100% to 70%, that's quite a lot less than 100%. Then this is how kind Prabhupada is. And when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, he hammered everybody too. 100%. Surrender. Sarvadharma parityaja. Give up everything. You rascals, you murha, fools, surrender to me. Krishna himself was hammering everybody. And We tell people, you come to the temple, you can get nice prasadam, and it's made with butter and cream and custard. I've never seen what's custard. First time I had custard in Vrindavan, one Spanish devotee, they made the custard, and they were drinking in the cup, clay cup. I was up in the Gurukul, I could see down there, and they would say, "Como stai?" And I came down as the older boy and the monitor. So everyone's sleeping, I went down to the kitchen. I said, "Give me some, what is that?" He said, "Custard, have some." I had it, wow, so fantastic. I said, "Where did you get this from?" He said, "It only comes from the US. And here they have it like you can take a bath in the custard." So much here, you know. I didn't even look at it, you know. And then you go to the kitchen when they transfer the bucket, you can slide on it because there's so much on the ground. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, where's this austerity? Krishna consciousness. And so I want to leave the ashram and get myself a job and a family and on and on and on. And then before they're so bright and so blissful, and then when they leave, they have a job, they're foaming at the mouth, so hard work. They don't have that bright face anymore. They're like, "Oh my God, so working so hard." They're catching the train, and they go to home, and they go to work, and after the work, there's no joy anymore. There's no bliss. Don't think that you sleeping on the money, you can have a joy and bliss and that ecstatic face. Ecstatic Krishna consciousness, bliss comes from serving Krishna. You can don't have anything. You can be just serving Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna. We dance in ecstasy is not because we have $1 million in the bank. I feel so happy, I'm dancing. You can't maintain that. It's artificial. You cannot chant Hare Krishna every day for 40 years if you're not experiencing the bliss. Last Sunday, I was thinking at home, and I finished my rounds, I did exercise, I do more exercise, and then I was thinking, I should have a day off. Then they had a Harinam in the city. I said, should I go or not? And this is mentally out. I said, already 5 minutes, 10 minutes, almost 1 hour, and the time is approaching. I got to get to the city because they started hurrying up at 12:30. It was already 11 o'clock. And then it was 11:30. I said, I got myself up, go to the city. So the time you spend mentally out, you could finish one round. He could be experiencing Krishna consciousness so much. Yeah. But then when he got there, there was cloudy and poof, there was sun coming down, blue sky. I said, "This is Krishna one." So he was showing me that get up and go, surrender to Krishna. Happiness will come. That's what Prabhupada was talking about. Eternal happiness. Karmis, Prabhupada explaining, karmis, they don't know what is enjoyment. Like I was saying before, we have breakfast here, and a salad, with olive oil and mustard and tahini stuff that we haven't seen. It's like almost coming from the spiritual world. And they have it like cardboard, bread, toast. So devotees are really enjoying. You finish the class, go out there, you sit down, enjoy the prasadam. You don't even need a spoon. You can eat with the hand. And all around, coming down the step, all here, and you're liquid. You're enjoying from the early morning. They're enjoying. In India, they eat it, the khichdis come down the side. The people say, "How do you do it?" I said, "We enjoy so much. We don't have time to use a spoon." Like the Englishman. We enjoy it fully. Roll in the ground. In Vrindavan they have a festival on Balaram Jayanti. That was one of my favorite festivals, remember? When I lived in Vrindavan Gurukul. I also look forward to October festival. There's so many festivals. And I had a big lota. You know what lota is? It's a cup
is huge. So I had the biggest lota. I didn't have any money. I said, whoever's going to the Lord Bazaar, get me a lota. He have the money. So he gave me a big lota. It was, there's small ones, big ones. And I was to put all the, you know, prasadam in it. And they had this, they had a big pot of honey that hanging in the tamal tree, that tree that in the middle of the courtyard in Vrindavan. And they had a group of boys, they would cover their eyes. Something like the, what is that Western thing? Pinyata. And we had to break that pot with the plow. And I said, I never want to volunteer that because I want to wait for the honey to come down. So they had somebody that had the eyes, and they're missing it. They're hitting the tree instead of the pot. I said, come on, hurry up, hit the pot. And the honey would come down. I don't know if it's a real honey or not, because in India there's a lot of cheating. But whatever, it's all prasad. And honey coming down down the ground, everywhere. I was like, wow. You know? I collect the honey in the cup, and I was sliding in it and everything. I had honey all over the clothes. Such a wonderful festival. We don't worry about how expensive it is. I think the honey probably, the devotees bought it from Australia or somewhere in New Zealand. So there's so much ecstasy in Krishna consciousness. People don't have idea how much bliss is there in nectar in Krishna consciousness. In spiritual world, this world we are practicing Krishna consciousness, this is the top, the icing only. You go to the spiritual world, there's so much. They have ocean of milk. They say, Lord Vishnu is lying in the ocean of milk. If they have ocean of milk here down the road, don't we? And that would go in the bucket, you know, bring it all here. The government will sell it off. But they have ocean of milk. They don't care about. And they have, in the heavenly planet, they have mangoes that are the size of an elephant. It's mentioned. Mangoes. Somebody offered a mango a few days to Radha Vallabha. They were in a plastic bag. So I went to get it, it was gone, disappeared. Just a few days ago. I said, who took the mangoes? They're for Radha Vallabha. Somebody donated it. It was gone. Maybe I know who it is, because I was just looking around. I won't say it. And people, I mean, there's money lying around, nobody takes, but this mangoes missing, and bananas are missing. Then in spiritual, they have mango size of an elephant. And it falls from the tree. Big, I mean, I can't imagine the juice from that. The Gujaratis, they make a mango juice, they keep it in the freezer, and they have it when there is no mango season. They unfreeze it and they have it with the hot ghee. And then they have it with hot chapatis. Yum. So this mango would fall, and the juice would make a mango juice river. So much mango juice. That's why we don't want to go to heavenly planet. We don't go to the mango juice. We're going to serve Krishna. Even if there's no mango juice, we still want to serve Krishna. And that juice created mango juice river, and then it dry up and it becomes gold, a river of gold. Everybody wants to go to heavenly planet. So we don't have a desire to go to heavenly planet because these things make us forget Krishna. We want to go where we can remember Krishna. Kunti Devi said, give me calamities again and again so I can remember you. So, happiness or distress, we want to serve Krishna. Our pleasure is serving Krishna. We serve Krishna, that's where we get the pleasure. And there's no misery actually. Because when you serve Krishna, there's no unhappiness. It's full of joy. Every time. I remember the early days in Mayapur. You talk about austerity. In Mayapur, you go to Mayapur, in Vrindavan, in India, in the 70s. You can't imagine. There's no hot water. We get up in the morning, cold shower. I go, wake you up. And in Vrindavan, in our time, in down early 80s and 70s, you take bath in the under the tap, and it goes, you get electric shock. You know that? I don't know, they said they have ecstatic or something. Because coming from the metal, brass metal. A little bit.
And all the devotees said, so we had line up the boys, I'd throw you in. We had to tap on. Yeah. We go to Mangala, they were really woken up. Woken up from the shower and the electricity and everything. And then sit down to take prasadam was just very simple. You want puris, halava, you want sweet rice? He had to wait for Vyasa Puja. Or some festival. They didn't have it every day. I really wanted to eat the rubbery. You know the rubbery? If you want to eat rubbery in Vrindavan, I never want it outside because I make it with buffalo milk. Only from the temple because they come from our Gosala. And then I don't have the money because it's so expensive. So I prayed to Krishna, please, I want rubbery. Sorry, it's material desire. Offer to you, of course. It's not material desire. I'm telling you the truth because I'm speaking in the Bhagavatam class to tell you that Krishna can give you everything. Before I know it, I got to knock on the door. And the time is when there's nobody around. And they have a rule in the Gurukul that if anybody gives you from the temple to the boys, you have to hand it over to the teacher or you share it. I said, no way, I'm not sharing that. They're not going to know. Big rubbery. You know, we used to go outside, they have these clay cups. They have 1 liter clay cup. I pray to Krishna, not a little bit, big size, please. Ordering. A big cup, clay cup. And I didn't forget Krishna. I said, thank you, Krishna. But I didn't want to see who gave me. I said, you can go now, thank you. I didn't know who it was. I had the whole cup. And then they said, you need to eat the cup too. I said, no, I'm not that story. I just eat the rubbery. So if you desire anything in the holy dham, you'll get it. It's true. Literally true. That time, I'm still innocent, so I didn't desire material things. Just the rubbery. If I was material, then I would be asking for $1 million. I hasn't grown up yet. So I just asked for some sweet. So we need to be careful. What we desire from Krishna? Krishna will give you. So it's not austerity. So have a desire, always desire to serve Krishna. That's the principle of this purport. Niskama, nispriha. That it is full of joy. Krishna consciousness is full of joy. It's not that joy, the smile that devotees have. It's not a mere, it's not material smile. It's spiritual. Srila Prabhupada, when he smiled, it's like the ocean. It's the whole universe smiling. That kind of smile. Spiritual happiness. Thank you. That happiness is artificial and superficial and plastic. Real happiness is from the heart. Spiritual happiness. And that's what the devotees have. Why people are attracted to devotees? They say, we guys are so happy. How can you be so happy? They have everything, they're not happy. They ask us in the street. Every time you see guys, you're so happy. Yeah. Because we have Krishna. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure. When you chant Hare Krishna and associate with Krishna, you are immersed in the ecstasy of love of God, spiritual happiness. So we have to understand this principle and take shelter of Krishna and become happy in Krishna. And don't be miserable. And you know, we don't have time for miserable. We don't have time for it. We don't have time to get sick. Stay above it. And the sickness comes, say, please Krishna, make me strong. I don't want to sick. I don't have time for that. So always pray to Krishna to keep us Krishna conscious. We need to pray to Prabhupada. Pray to Krishna. The Guru Puja happening, pray to the lotus feet of Guru. Please, Prabhupada, give me your mercy. Allow me to serve you. Allow me to think of Krishna. At the time of difficulty, allow me to remember especially. Always. So this is the idea of Krishna consciousness. It's not a superficial thing. People are watching us. It's not an Indian thing. It's a spiritual world. The chanting Hare Krishna, Prabhupada brought it to the Western country. He left India. He brought it to America, where people need it the most. So we're here. Material world is changing constantly. People are becoming more miserable and more unhappy. So much unhappiness in this world. Para dukkha dukkhi. Devotee sees others' unhappiness, he becomes unhappy by seeing others unhappy. Para dukkha dukkhi. We have to feel that way in our heart. That and become selfless to share with others Krishna consciousness. We don't have to be around here in this temple. We can have it outside, a job, live out happily. What did Ram say? Live happily. This is not the place to live happily. We want to get out of here. We want to go to the spiritual world. We have a limited time while we're here. Serve Krishna sincerely and immerse yourself in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. Dive into the Krishna consciousness. Bring others, pull them in. This is our duty as preachers. We are all preachers in this. Every devotee is a preacher. In the early days, Sunday feast program in our temple, I remember in Sydney, in the early 80s, every devotee in the temple, they had to attend Sunday feast. And every person had to sit next to somebody, preaching to them. We had to have somebody next to us, telling them about Krishna. Like that. So, take this as a duty to yourself to make others Krishna conscious. Make a devotee. I always sit with my students, yoga students, tell them about devotee, about Krishna consciousness. If they can visit temple, try to make devotees, you know, like this. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Are we allowed to kill those bees?
Not sure. I wouldn't like to get stuck in my throat, but I heard if you're taking big amount of tulsi, like Mayapur, they make tulsi garland, so you have to chew it. How are you gonna choke it down? But here they're putting one leaf with charnamita, so if you take sufficient amount of charnamita and a leaf with it, it can go through quickly. But if you have a big chunk, yeah, you can't swallow that. So it depends. Better to take enough so you can swallow it. I mean, out of respect, I don't like to chew it. But I don't take so much also. Just take a little bit, touch it. Or else, if it's on the ground, just put it back in the tulsi pot. It goes with the plant. Any mazis, questions? Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.